My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And now,
my fellow citizens,
my fellow Americans,
allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Gabe Ramirez, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is Gabe Ramirez. Happy Monday. Let that play, Sean. Don't pull that down. It's a beautiful intro. Allow me to reintroduce myself. In case you haven't heard, somebody just texted me on Instagram and they're like, hey, when are you going to work at the Score again? I was like, I'm on tonight, 7 o'clock. He's like, I thought you got let go in May. I was like, eh, so did I. I'm back, baby. I'm here. And ready to give you guys some good Bears takes, man. Of course, Mark Grody just set you guys up. It's like the perfect warm-up to what's going to happen for the next 2 hours. We got Josh Rock hanging out today. We got some great guests. We also got Sean Sears producing today. Definitely want to talk some Cubs baseball at some point, which is odd enough. You know, Sean and I did our show yesterday, Hit and Run, where I filled in for Matt Spiegel.
Yeah, did you miss baseball talk? You needed to get some more in?
I mean, when Shota Imanaga pitches a gem and the sweep is there for the taking, and, you know, yeah, you feel a certain type of way that on a beautiful Sunday in Wrigley, you had the opportunity there to sweep, and it slipped out of there.
A lot of wasted opportunities this year, man. That was a key one, though. That was a tough one.
Yeah, there was, you know, a couple of tough ones, right, from that game. Like Dansby Swanson with the bases loaded, come on.
Paid the guy a lot of money not to do not that.
I mean, Dansby Swanson in the 7 hole or wherever he's at. You know what I'm saying? Like if I'm a Cubs fan and Dansby's up in the 7 hole, I'm thinking to myself, you know what, Papa? You've been playing however you want all year, but you're a gamer and you're gonna go ahead and handle business. And then it's a 1-2 count slider on the hands, takes it. It's like that's like the worst feeling ever to watch
your guy just take strike three.
He wasn't ready. The slider didn't slide. He stood right there and it got him. But either way, I think, you know, this is still one of those games where the momentum doesn't diminish just because of the result of the game. I think with Shota Imanaga pitching the way he did, still leaning on his two pitches, masterfully executing them throughout the entire game. You know, the bullpen pitching well, I think it's just, it was a really good game for the Cubs. Just unfortunately, you know, you can't sweep every team that's out there. But, you know, we'll get into some more Cubs talk a little bit later. Sox lost. I would say it's a heartbreaker. You know, Kai Bush gets out there, shuts him down. One run, you know, just like the Cubs, only run at the time leading into the ninth was the homer. And then all of a sudden, you know how many times I've watched, oh my gosh, Altuve hit a homer to that short porch in Houston. It's disgusting. Like, he was rocking around the bases in the ninth. I'm watching the game. Like I said, I watch every game. I'm in the ninth and I'm watching it. And I'm like, oh, Altuve, all right, let's see if we can get out of this inning. And then, you know, or if the Sox can get out of this inning and, you know, get an opportunity in the top of the ninth. And then Brebby is pitching him. Boom. And I'm like, why do I watch this? Why is this like a replay? Why? And then I started, you know what I did? It was a sick experiment, where I put myself in the position, because I told you guys before, one of my best friends is from Houston, so he's a huge Astros fan, defends them religiously about the cheating scandals.
Ugh.
And yeah, oh, trust me, it's gross in our group chats.
It's tough.
But I tried to put myself in his position, and I was thinking, and if I called him and was like, dude, you know, he's probably working, dude, you know, a two-way with another homer in the ninth. He would just, you know what he would say to me? And I can picture it. That's just what he does. And you're like, I hate you. I hate you for having a guy. Like, imagine your veteran guy. Like, Altuve's been there forever. And then it's a 1-0 game. And in the ninth, he happens to hit the insurance run, home run. It's like, come on. You've been watching that for a decade, it seems like, over there in Houston. And then he's still putting nails in coffins, right? So it was a tough one. But, you know, would love to chat a little bit more about Kai Bush and, you know, the pitching staff and see what they're going to end up doing as the season goes on. But some Bears talk. Let's follow it up, man. I know the phone lines are open. I know people were listening to Mark Grody. I'd love to chat with you as well. You got some Bears thoughts still lingering from what Grody was talking about. Of course, I was listening intently. 312-644-6767. If you are in your car and do want to chat Bears, we can do that. I want to play some stuff from you from today, some audio that came out a little bit earlier. We had some stuff from Shane Waldron out there. We also had some stuff from Gerald Everett that I want to play. And then Kyler Gordon had a really interesting one in regards to just the camaraderie on the Chicago Bears, which I think is interesting. Today, earlier today, I was hanging out with Clay Harbor, 9-year NFL vet, and Marshall Harris, score friend. And the three of us were doing, or not doing, we're on the Believe Network doing a Bears podcast, Believe in Bears. And we were meeting today about some stuff, and Clay played this take about, you know, Caleb Williams before the draft, about Caleb Williams and that how he can't believe Ryan Poles is willing to trade Justin Fields before meeting with Caleb Williams one-on-one and all this other BS. And then he's like, how do you know Justin Fields is loved and how do you know how Caleb Williams is going to respond to the locker room? What if he's an issue in the locker room? Because he was talking about the hoopla that was surrounding him at USC. Sean, I want to play the Kyler Gordon clip first, because Kyler Gordon not only talked about how amazing the locker room right now, but he talked about how uncommon it is. Take a listen to this.
The way I characterize it, I mean, I feel like it's just a surge of energy, and that's kind of like the way I felt since the day we came in from the first day. Like, everyone just, like, starving. Like, everyone wants to eat some type of way, however it is, and we really just build off each other as far as making plays and doing our job, assignment, and just the kind of culture we all created within the locker room. You know, it's kind of uncommon culture, you know, not be the same as everybody else, and we know we want to strive to do and stuff like that. So I just say a real positive surge of energy.
Uncommon.
The chemistry, I mean, especially like from the way I've seen my rookie year coming all the way to where we are now, even still being young, but like the way that we do talk, critique, like positively critique, and get on each other, and the way the accountability, the way we hold each other to the standard and stuff like that is just, we're on top of it 24/7, really.
You heard Caleb Williams talking about it. The Bears are trying to execute at a level of perfection. When you hear the defense talk about it, it makes you feel even better, because, of course, I think what everyone is understanding is that, you know, Jalen Johnson even talked about it, right? Where he was at a couple of years ago. And now he's coming in as the veteran, got his paycheck, but he's still invigorated and energized because he sees what kind of energy this team is, this defense specifically, is playing with. And I think that is something that we want to lean on and feel excited about. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Got any Bears thoughts? I want to hear them, man. Bears playing on the short week on Thursday. And then before that, you get this extendo 2-week vacation, it feels like, before September 8th rolls around and Bears kick off the season against the Tennessee Titans. All right, let's go to the phones. We got Jake in Ottawa. Jake, welcome to the show, man. What two quarterbacks do you want to compare right now?
So I just kind of found a humorous head. Bob called in earlier asking when we're going to bench Caleb Williams for Tyson Bagent. And I've also seen on social media just the Tyson Bagent obsession. Now, look, I like Bagent. It's a fine backup. But I'm trying to figure out the obsession with a guy who has a below-average NFL arm that threw 3 touchdowns and 6 picks last year, who was significantly outplayed by Justin Fields. So why it's even a discussion. You know, Caleb Williams could throw 15 interceptions by the middle of the year, and I still ain't even blinking at and taking him out for Tyson Bagent. You know, and they're talking about the splash plays. You know, yeah, he had a few 3-and-outs, you know, vanilla plays, you know. But when you look at him in the pocket, It's night and day. I'm a Justin Fields fan, by the way. For a while, I was. And, you know, I was happy if he could be a top 15 quarterback passing with his legs. I was like, for Bears fans, man, that's a savior because we've been so bad. But Ryan Poles actually showed he's different than our past GMs by saying, I'm shooting for the stars, man. And after watching this kid, the pocket awareness, it's not even close. And you look at him out there and the way he's maneuvering the pocket, even the one sack, you know, it's like he was that close to getting away from it. And I just don't see where anybody can compare him and to him and to Justin to being the same type of guy. You know, even outside the pocket, Justin, with his release and his timing and his footwork, couldn't make any of the throws or splash plays that he could make. And I already see a couple of the, you know, quick passes out of the pocket. He's way ahead of Justin already. You think that actually watching Justin in Pittsburgh this year, that he's in his fourth year and Caleb's going to his third or fourth year, or his first year and Caleb's going to his fourth year, because it's really not even close. And I just am trying to find the effectiveness of the fan base where you think Tyson Bagent is anywhere near on the level of Caleb Williams and what they expect to see out of a guy who just started playing. I don't know. I think by middle of the year, he's going to look really, really good. And I see the pocket awareness already naturally being there on another level. So just kind of your thoughts on the comedy of, you know, the Tyson Bagent getting started over Caleb.
Jake, thanks for the call, man. I really appreciate it. It's okay to call out things like that, right? And I think, listen, we all watch football, right? And every fan base, at times, there's a percentage that clamors for the second string quarterback. And it's okay. It's okay. That's good. We want people to have confidence. And we want to have a team where we have confidence in our backup quarterback. And I am completely okay with that. And so if there's a contingent of the fan base that feels so, that's what's up. But, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, and we all saw it last year. Arm strength is an issue for Tyson Bagent. Can he be a game manager that can dink and dunk you down the field and do it well? Because he can throw a nice ball. He does understand the game well. Even Shane Waldron mentioned that he's impressed with Tyson Bagent and how he handles everything and tackles everything. But, I mean, listen, you can, you know, it's tough. It really is tough when you're talking about the Caleb Williams situation. It's unfair to Justin that, you know, people are still making the comparisons in the present. Like, we moved on. We saw what it has. Jake, you mentioned Justin being a top 15 quarterback. It was my biggest argument, right? That I don't think Justin can go past a certain level in that range of 15, right? He's not going to make it into the top 8. And they're seeing it in Pittsburgh. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's had 13 drives so far, and he's amassed a total of 3 points in the preseason. My favorite meme with Justin Fields is somebody's like, Justin Fields played the whole second. It was somebody from Pittsburgh that said Justin Fields played the whole second half against future Walmart greeters. And only put up whatever. We're not there anymore. We're past that. We are onto Caleb Williams. You can see what kind of a quarterback he is, and it should make you feel good to feel that way. I want to talk, speaking of Shane Waldron, I want to play some clips from him and talking about Caleb Williams, talking about some of the specific plays and talking about one of the biggest challenges for Roma Dunze we'll get into. But Shane Waldron talked about the slow start for Caleb Williams and just, you know, what his overall take on it was.
I think starting with me, putting the guys in the best position to have a fast start right there, something we talked about on offense, where obviously we're not looking to go, three and outs to start a game out. Defense did a great job of holding strong right there and allowing us to get into a rhythm, obviously in that fourth drive right there and then leading into the second half. So really just starting with me, putting guys in good position to start fast, play efficient football, get some more runs going there, get a little bit better balance, and we'll be better with that moving forward.
Understand that. I mean, listen, if you watch the game, first play to Keenan Allen, 3 straight passes, that's not going to happen, right? I mean, that's not going to be the game plan, or at least I don't think that's going to be the game plan for the Chicago Bears. So, you know, you try to get Keenan Allen involved, didn't have a catch in the first or second, you know, those preseason games, trying to get him something. Like, I get it, you know, doesn't work. There's a bit of frustration because, you know, you're not operating. I get it. But again, it's preseason. I'm not really worried about it. He talked about Caleb Williams, you know, adjusting to NFL speed. And I think that, you know, we all just need to take a bit of a chill pill when trying to assess his productivity.
part of that, you know, is just seeing concepts for the first time sometimes in those live game actions. But, you know, he had a great, you know, the ball out to Cole, the ball out to Simba, you know, some of those where he's showing that he plays in rhythm, he can play in rhythm, find those throws. And then, you know, pretty cool to watch is when the play breaks down, you know, it almost seems like it's in slow motion for him and he can find the different rush lanes, being smart with the ball, you know, breaking contain and creating some explosives down the field. So, you know, for us with him, you know, it's about finding the balance of those two things. And I think he's doing a good job of progressing with that. And like you mentioned, you know, feeling out what are those windows, what are the windows that are too tight to fit it in, or what are the windows that are legit completions before getting into potential scramble modes.
Yeah, and I think that when you're talking about game speed, Caleb Williams doesn't look frazzled. He doesn't look like a rookie that is experiencing some new level of speed that is catching him off guard that he's not able to adjust to. It looked good. I was listening to Bernstein and Holmes earlier today, or the earlier, and you know, they were talking about making throws that, you know, Bears quarterbacks don't make. Bernstein was leaning on that, and I agree with him. Like, typically, it's like if you go back to the second game, first drive, Caleb Williams, third 13, hits DJ Moore on a strike. Like, those are the passes that are against the Bears, right?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, Gabe.
Yeah, third and six on the goal line, you know, and they can't complete a pass, and the quarterback scrambles for the tutty, and you're like, dude, it was third and six. At least hold them to a field goal. And it's like those are the moments that happen to other quarterbacks. So that was pretty good. Shane Waldron mentioned taking those shots, finding those windows. And one of those plays was the play action to Tyler Scott, which, you know, anything other than the horse collar. Like if he would have hit him, grabbed his arm, anything. Tyler might have grabbed it caught it with the left hand and walked into the end zone. But the fact that it was some horse collar was the only thing that put it away. But Shane Waldron talked about taking a shot there as well.
On the play action deep shot that drew the PI, what did you like about the entirety of the sequence, the receiver, the quarterback, all things?
Yeah, that one started up front. You know, the protection on that, you know, for a play action fake right there, you know, the O-line, you know, with the feel of run, the two tight ends ended up on the double team on the backside defensive end right there. And then Rome running his crosser to eat up the safety driving so that Tyler could, you know, work that one-on-one matchup before the overlap corner played over the top. So, you know, just good execution all around. You know, obviously would love to get the completion out of it for Tyler because he did a good job winning initially on the route and then, you know, got grabbed at the top of the route right there. But Caleb saw it cleanly, clean feet. So just a good shot of all 11 guys being in sync on an offensive snap.
And that's what's important from the front. I love when he says stuff like that, right? It's like, and right, the chemistry, man, I can't say it enough, right? You bring in Caleb Williams, he does the claw. People start feeling themselves. They're like, damn, we already think we're a good defense. If we get some points on the board, Shane Waldron's like, yeah, I could do this. I can call some plays for the number one pick in the draft and a future Hall of Famer and a potential future Hall of Famer and a rookie who could be pretty damn good. Yeah, I could do that. DeAndre Swift, sure. You brought in Gerald Everett? Wow. I thought I just had Cole Kmet. You brought in Gerald Everett too? Thank you. It's like, oh my God. It's great. Of course he loves to play and how it ended up working out. But of course, when it comes to Rome Odunze, I want to play this last clip before we go to break. You know, he talked about the biggest challenge for Odunze. And, you know, the good thing is that there's zero pressure on him. Like, he's not expected to go out and catch 10 catches, 10 receptions for 100 yards every game, which is great. Not this year, at least. Imagine what he's going to look like next year learning under DJ. We talk about guys like Jordan Love learning under Aaron Rodgers, right? Or having that lineage of that kind of stuff. Well, damn, we can create that here in Chicago. DJ Moore is locked up. Rome Odunze is locked up. So if you go get one more, if Keenan Allen, for whatever reason, leaves, then that person could be the person that learns under Rome Odunze and DJ Moore. And then you get what I'm saying. But here's Shane Waldron talking about the biggest challenges for Rome.
Yeah. Keenan Allen said that Rome Odunze came in and he didn't need to be told or taught how to play receiver. Mm-hmm. What's like the biggest challenge that most rookie receivers come in with that Rome's already mastered?
I think the it's the same for all the rookies as the new playbook, right? And the different way of operating. I think there's unbelievable systems in college as far as the some of the spread out offenses that operate in a no huddle with signs and hand signals, and you know the way that they're operating at an ultra fast tempo. I know Rome had the benefit of being able to do a little bit of both at Washington, and so when I think the edge you see with him is when he walked in, and this was from early on talking to him at the combine, and then all the way through the process, his ability to grasp the playbook, and not just for one position, but to be able to understand as a conceptual learner what each receiver does along the on each play, that's allows him to move around and really be ahead of what would normally be, I think, the biggest challenge for a rookie receiver in terms of learning the system.
What week should we expect a breakout from Rome Odunze? To get that answer, we talked to NBC Sports Chicago's very own Josh Schrock. I know he's out there at Hallis talking to Grody. Grody said he's ready. So make sure you are ready as well on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Josh Schrock joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
He's looking downfield, nothing there. Spins away, throws on the move. It is.
Is Rome the most polished rookie receiver you've gone against as a pro?
I mean, I just got back, so I've definitely given my reps against him. But, yeah, no, definitely he's a really hard worker, humble dude, and all he wants to do is get better. And that's all I see from him, so it's exciting to see.
It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Shout out my cousin Red. Told me that I wasn't talking directly into the microphone and it was too low. Shout out to you. So that's what you got, real score heads texting you, letting you know that kind of stuff. But fortunately, we got a guy whose voice is beautiful and crystal clear. And he is joining us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book from NBC Sports Chicago and the Under Center podcast. Of course, it is Josh Schrock. Josh, welcome back, man. It's great to talk to you.
Hey, good to talk to you, Gabe. How are you?
Doing good, man. All right. So let you know, you and I, we haven't spoken since, you know, these first couple of Caleb Williams drives have taken place. So I don't even, you know, I know what your thoughts, you know, generally from what I read, you know, your articles, but you and I personally haven't talked. So I feel like people aren't as excited as they should be off of what he's done, right? When you're looking at a 97-yard drive, a 90-yard, four-minute drive, this last one. Granted, there's been stuff in the middle, right? But, you know, your first two drives putting up points in the NFL, I feel like people were, like, cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you and I are in different parts of the internet. I think people are pretty well excited. I think my read on the situation from what is 43 preseason snaps is it's pretty much what you expect from a rookie quarterback. Like, it's been pretty uneven, which is what we've seen in camp. But the good is really sensational. And I think, you know, I would never look at preseason stats. They don't mean anything. I think when you just watch what Caleb can do in terms of elite arm talent, velocity, innate pocket presence. Obviously, the off-schedule plays, the off-platform throws are ridiculous. I mean, the throw he makes to Rome, the fadeaway 45-yard hook shot on a dime, there's like five guys who can make that throw. So that stuff is incredibly special. To me, it's really just, though, it's the intelligence and the poise that he's played with, right? I mean, this is a guy who arrived in Chicago with all these accolades, avalanche of hype, and he's really kind of exceeded expectations just from a ability to quickly digest the playbook, not only like to hear the call, but to understand it. And, you know, Shane Waldron said today, you know, the great thing about Caleb is he comes to the sideline immediately and he doesn't even really need to look at the Microsoft Surface tablet. He can tell you and recall each play, tell you what he saw, why he did what he did, through what lens, what read he should make, and then they go from there. And I think that's the special stuff.
Yeah, and you heard, yeah, I heard Shane Waldron talking about that his recall was extremely impressive for a rookie quarterback. And I mean, you know, it's what you want to hear, right? It's everything that has been advertised for a guy like Caleb Williams. Talk about the touch on the throws. You know, I think to me that's something that stood out from a Bears fan's standpoint, where you know, I look at guys like Jay Cutler, I look at guys like Mitch, like Justin, and I felt like that was something that was lacking from the arsenal.
No, yeah, no question. I mean, that's one of the first things I think a bunch of us noticed early on, either, you know, mini camp, OTAs, but especially early in training camp, was the ability to put touch in, like, really layer throws, like have a really good understanding of not only what the window is and when it's going to close, but, you know, I'm not just going to try to rifle every throw in. Like, I can feather this ball, or I need to place this amount of air under to get it over player X. Like, that kind of stuff is special. And then you go back to, I think the play that was most impressive was probably the one that didn't count when Rome was out of bounds, right? I mean, the stuff he does there with the ability to then really, really amp up the velocity and rip a ball into the corner as he's fading out of bounds is just, you know, that stuff is incredibly rare. And if the Bears can polish Caleb, right? You don't want to take that stuff away, but if they can polish it and make it so that weapon is fine-tuned, I mean, it's going to get fun here in a year or two.
Most certainly is. We're talking to Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez with you. We mentioned, you know, Shane Waldron and, you know, what that compliment is like to Caleb Williams. And he's brought a new offensive approach to the Bears. How do you think his strategy is going to complement Caleb Williams' strengths?
Yeah, I think he's got a pretty good grasp of how to use all of the Bears' weapons, which is something we haven't really needed to talk about the last 2 years because there's been one weapon. So I think he's got a pretty good grasp of different formations, has a good feel for what each guy does well and how to get them involved. And I thought an interesting thing from Shane today is I asked him about the three straight three and outs and what went wrong offensively, and he just put it on himself. He said, look, I need to get better at creating a rhythm, getting us into a flow, maybe run the ball a little bit more and just have a better feel. So you have an offensive coordinator who is a very highly regarded play caller. He's incredibly smart. He's creative, but he also is willing to admit when things are wrong and kind of go back to the drawing board. And I think that's something the Bears are going to need this year, because there's going to be some tinkering, Gabe. Like, there are going to be games when it doesn't work and they're going to have to go back to the drawing board. You know, CJ Stroud is,
I love that,
this paragon of rookie quarterback play. And he scored like 6 points against the Panthers last year. So like, it's just going to happen. There's just going to be games where you're like, man, what was that? But Shane seems to have a really good head on his shoulders just to understand, okay, hey, we kind of got away from what we want to do, and let's go back and figure it out why we did and how we can get back into the flow.
And the tinkering is also going to take place in that running back room, right? Josh, it's like you're looking at how many people, like in your mind, week one, Chicago Bears, how many running backs are touching the ball?
Man, I really think it's probably two. Maybe three. Like, I think DeAndre Swift's going to get a big, big share of this.
So do
like, I think DeAndre Swift has been, you and I have talked about this, I think he's the most underrated addition this offseason. I think he's a guy who can do it all. I mean, he's a great run between the tackles guy, outside, good pass protector. He's incredibly versatile as a pass catching weapon. And I think the Bears went out and paid him because they don't want to have to tinker with that running back by committee approach anymore. And I think having Swift be the main guy frees up Khalil Herbert to be a really good one cut and go explosion guy for, you know, eight touches a game. And I think that's what they need.
And I mean, he excelled at that when David Montgomery was here, right? That's why people had so much confidence in him.
Yes. That is a perfect role for Khalil Herbert.
Yeah. So I'll be excited to see that. I'm surprised by the two, but I like it though. Cause I think you're right. They should lean on a guy like DeAndre Swift. You know, he did make the Pro Bowl last year. He's extremely explosive, you know, especially in this offense. If they're not going to be, they can't put eight in the box. You know, they got to play too deep. It's going to be a dream scenario for a guy like that. Let's talk about the offensive line because we have to before I go over to the defense. It almost seems like Caleb Williams is okay regardless of whatever's happening in front of him. Am I wrong by saying that?
No, he's incredibly good at making the chaos be calm, right? Shane talked today about how he is even in rhythm when everything breaks down because everything moves in slow motion for him, which is going to be an asset because this offensive line is, it's got some work to do. It really does. I think, you know, Tevin Jenkins, when healthy, is a really good guard. The health is the question. I think Coleman Shelton's been pretty good in the reps I've seen at center. I thought Braxton had a rough game at left tackle and Nate Davis still, you know, it doesn't match the eye test for what they're paying him right now at right guard. And maybe it gets better, but for a team that deserves a lot of credit for putting an incredible supporting cast around Caleb Williams, the one issue is the offensive line. And I think the blessing is that Caleb is very comfortable when there's chaos. And honestly, that might be when he's at his best.
Yeah. And then sometimes your quarterback can help out your offensive line, right? And make them play a little bit better, you know, get them going a little bit. And hopefully that could be the case as well. All right. I got a couple questions about defense that really have been, you know, just on my mind. And I think first one I have for you is, you know, about Eric Washington, you know, and I'm curious because I haven't been at training camp and a lot of people listening haven't either. Mm-hmm. Have you observed anything different in the defensive schemes? Like, especially like just with pressure or just, you know, an overarching theme with the defense, or has it been just what you saw last year?
No. I think it's been different. And I think Eric Washington, especially with the defensive line, has his fingerprints all over some different wrinkles that we're going to see this year, or at least that they're experimenting with, right? I think one thing, they are acutely aware of the fact that they do not have a number two edge rusher, right? They have one and three and four and five, and they don't have two. And so they are experimenting with different ways to generate pressure, be that moving Montez Sweat from side to side, maybe putting him inside. They've talked about putting Andrew Billings at three technique a little bit as a rotation. If Jermon Dexter, you know, can't really live up to the expectations early, because Billings was pretty good as a pass rusher last year from nose, and he has the disruptive ability to play the three technique, and he said he's kind of enjoyed it. So there's that. And then, you know, I think Eric and Matt have kind of, I mean, they've been blitzing a lot and kind of dialing up a bunch of different stuff both in the games and at camp. And I think that just comes from, I think Matt is even more comfortable with this personnel because it's year two, year three in the scheme for everybody. He really has a good feel for what everybody can do and is capable of doing and the roles they can play. And I think he's going to be more interested and more willing to dial up different pressures because they have experimented with stuff in the front four and because he just understands what his personnel can do this year. So I think it's going to look a little bit different than kind of what we saw last year.
Who's the leader of this defense?
I think it's Jalen Johnson. I do. I think Jalen Johnson, I think the exit of Eddie Jackson has kind of freed up Jalen to be more of a vocal leader and not just a lead by example guy. And I think you're seeing a guy who, I mean, Pro Bowl, all pro, but second team all pro. I think he's going to take his game to another level. He was incredibly impressive in joint practices against T. Higgins. I know it was raining, but T. Higgins might as well have not even tried to show up. He was a complete non-factor. And I think Jalen being the veteran now in that secondary, I mean, Kevin Byard is a veteran, but he just got here. But Jalen being kind of the guy that everyone looks to, I think he's going to be the leader.
All right, Josh, before I get you out of here, man, and obviously you have the Under Center podcast. Everybody can check it out wherever you can listen. I mentioned earlier in the show that myself, Clay Harbor, and Marshall Harris, we're going to be doing some Bears podcasting over the season. So I need your, like, you've had a lot of months interacting with Bears fans. So I need your, like, you know, what to stay away from and what's like an always a crutch you can always lean on that maybe you guys are always doing on your podcast. I need some tips.
Oh man, that's a good, you know, Gabe, just be yourself, man. I mean, honestly, people like you, and you know, you just got to understand. I would say it's not everyone is not for everyone, right? Just find your lane, and don't let Bears Twitter get you down, because they'll come for you when you say some stuff, and if you feel it, just you got to stand on it. Just, you know, and maybe don't bring up Justin. I think Justin's kind of a touchy subject. Yeah.
That's a good one. Maybe don't do that. Yeah, it was funny yesterday. I did Hit and Run, a baseball show, but we were the first live show since the Bears had played on Saturday. So Sean Sears, who's producing today, you know, we got to throw in a couple of Bears topics, but, you know, it doesn't matter if it's Caleb Williams. It doesn't matter if the Bears are, you know, projected to be good. Baseball fans want their baseball. So don't talk about the Bears. So the Twitter will get you. So it's like, I get it, man. Twitter will get you. You gotta have tough skin. That I know for sure. Josh, I appreciate you jumping on, brother, and hanging out with me, man, and giving us some insights. Always the goods, man.
Hey, you're the best, Gabe. Anytime.
Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago hanging out with us here on 670 The Score. I love it, man. He said, don't let Bears Twitter get you down. You know why? I am calloused and ready for Bears Twitter because we have 670 The Score's text line, which can be equally, not more brutal than anything you've ever witnessed in your life. So
they come at you, but they do it correctly too, so it's like extra mean.
Like, it was funny. I don't know if you saw Twitter, somebody was like, you know, I think I mentioned to you during the show that somebody was like, dude, you've been talking about Bears for an hour, and I was like, dude, it was 1 20-minute segment. But I responded to him and I was like, hey, you know, whatever. And he was just like, you know, because whenever you respond to people, they don't assume you're going to respond. They think they're just sending these words into the air. And then when you respond, they're like, hey, man, no, it's all good. I didn't mean it like that. I just wanted to say, like, I love baseball. All right, bro, I get it. But I get it. You want to wake up Sunday morning and listen to baseball talk. You don't want to listen to football. You get to do it. And I totally understood and validated his feelings. But right now, Bears. 312-644-6767. Josh Rock and I had a wonderful conversation about these Chicago Bears. And I asked him, who's the leader of this defense? He clearly stated it was Jalen Johnson. Any opinions on your side? Who do you think the leader should be, or who do you think, you know, will be that leader of this defense? 312-644-6767. And do you like what Eric Washington has been doing so far with his defense? We'll take your calls after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hold on, and Cole Kmet with an excellent job along the sideline for a 25-yard gain, and Williams had some heat on that pass.
Came right back to the bootleg again. Now you've got the other option, and it's the deeper option. Way to square your hips, way to square your shoulders. Nice accurate throw, able to hit the 7-route.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
That was Adam Amin and Jim Miller on the call right there. Bears defeating the Cincinnati Bengals 27-3. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. And Cole Kmet, I mean, a lot of people waiting for a lot from him, right? I think that, you know, with this offense, Shane Roger talked about it, he wants to play a lot more two tight end sets. You got Mercedes Lewis there, the Wiley veteran in for, you know, extra blocking. But, you know, Gerald Everett is a guy that they brought in to, you know, not just block or, you know, to be a weapon. You've seen him involved early and often. And Gerald Everett talked to the media today, and I thought it was interesting because you hear a lot about Cole Kmet being a blocking tight end that can catch. Well, you know, what is Gerald Everett, right? Like, what kind of a tight end are we getting? You might have picked him up on a waiver wire and when you're streaming tight ends in your league at some point. But, you know, who is he truly? And he talked about how he himself is different from Cole Kmet.
Both vertically and laterally, Cole and I have two different skill sets. Obviously, him being much bigger than me, a traditional tight end, me being a move tight end. We like to be on the field as much as we can together, but, I mean, being interchangeable, we don't see a limit for our group or let alone for Cole and I. And, I mean, obviously, Caleb will use us to his best advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and there are similarities there, but, you know, ultimately, that's what he wants. Tremaine Edmonds obviously being a guy anchoring the linebacking crew for the Chicago Bears, has to be accountable for Gerald Everett in some situations, and he spoke about him as well.
Tremaine, what's jumped out at you about Gerald Everett?
Yeah, his athleticism, for one. Obviously, he's a tight end, but, you know, GE is like a receiver out there, man. You know, he's crafty. Obviously, he has good speed, good size, got strong hands. You know what I mean? Like, he can pretty much do it all out there as far as at the tight end position. I mean, anytime you have somebody like that dynamic, you know, obviously it draws a lot of eyes on the defense. So he's been working hard out there, man. GE's going to do his thing for sure.
It's exciting to hear things like that. And I love the fact that they're calling him GE. Yeah, it means somebody's paying attention to him when they give you a nickname. So that's good. But I do think that that's going to be, I mean, isn't it crazy, Bears fans? Isn't it crazy to think about all the weapons? It sounds weird saying it. Like, somehow, some way, the Bears have a bunch of weapons. Cole Kmet, people were already thinking he was second in the team in receptions last year. Cole Kmet was. You expect, or should you think Cole Kmet's going to be fourth on the team? Probably third, behind a Keenan and a DJ Moore, with Romo Odunze lingering around, and GE somewhere a little bit behind that. I mean, it's just a lot.
DeAndre Swift even from the backfield. Like, they've got a ton of options, man. Like, you think about this team, like, in Madden, like, if this were like 10 years ago and the Bears were put together, I'd be playing with the Bears all the time.
All the time. And you'd just be putting up 80 every game. Yeah. And like just and crushing teams with their defense.
Threes, man. This team is so much fun to play with.
Because, you know, right, exactly. Madden's going to make sure that Caleb's going to hit those throws on the run. Like, when you're running to the sideline, those are going to be more accurate than anyone else. And then when you when you're throwing it to Keenan or DJ Moore, like, are you kidding me? They're just going to let you catch the ball. It's over.
Oh, that's so true.
That's a good one. I know. It's like, now I want to go make the Bears back in like Madden 2010 or something like that.
Yeah, man.
Just make the new Bears. All right. Mark Grody will be talking about Bears tomorrow, 6:00. And I'm sure he'll be giving you all training camp updates. And don't forget, Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. And the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And coming up, we are going to be talking Chicago baseball, specifically the Cubs. I want to talk about where they're at and, you know, my level of optimism. I think it's extremely high for this team. And I do think they're going to snag that last wild card spot, something that they didn't complete last year. But to my baseball fans out there, you can come on out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo this Thursday from 4 to 5:30. For an appearance with Ozzy Guillen and 670 The Score. Ozzy is going to be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area and mingling poolside. So be ready to talk some baseball at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo this Thursday at 4 p.m. All right, Cubs talk on the other side. So all my baseball purists, make sure you're hanging out with me at the top of the hour. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
With an excellent job along the sideline for a 25-yard gain, and Williams had some heat on that pass.
Came right back to the bootleg again. Now you've got the other option, and it's the deeper option. Way to square your hips, way to square your shoulders. Nice, accurate throw, able to hit the 7 route.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
That was Adam Amin and Jim Miller on the call right there. Bears defeating the Cincinnati Bengals 27-3. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. And Cole Kmet, I mean, a lot of people waiting for a lot from him, right? I think that, you know, with this offense, Shane Walder talked about it. He wants to play a lot more two tight end sets. You got Mercedes Lewis there. The Wiley veteran in for, you know, extra blocking. But, you know, Gerald Everett is a guy that they brought in to, you know, not just block or, you know, to be a weapon. You've seen him involved early and often. And Gerald Everett talked to the media today, and I thought it was interesting because you hear a lot about Cole Kmet being a blocking tight end that can catch. Well, you know, what is Gerald Everett, right? Like, what kind of a tight end are we getting? You might have picked him up on a waiver wire and when you're streaming tight ends in your league at some point. But, you know, who is he truly? And he talked about how he himself is different from Cole Kmet.
Both vertically and laterally, Cole and I have two different skill sets. Obviously, him being much bigger than me, a traditional tight end, me being a move tight end. We like to be on the field as much as we can together, but, I mean, being interchangeable, we don't see a limit for our group or let alone for Cole and I. And, I mean, obviously, Caleb will use us to his best advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and there are similarities there, but, you know, ultimately, that's what he wants. Tremaine Edmonds, obviously being a guy anchoring the linebacking crew for the Chicago Bears, has to be accountable for Gerald Everett in some situations, and he spoke about him as well.
Tremaine, what's jumped out at you about Gerald Everett?
Yeah, his athleticism, for one. Obviously, he's a tight end, but, you know, GE is like a receiver out there, man. You know, he's crafty. Obviously, he has good speed, good size. Got strong hands, you know what I mean? Like, he can pretty much do it all out there as far as at the tight end position. I mean, anytime you have somebody like that dynamic, you know, obviously it draws a lot of eyes on the defense. So he's been working hard out there, man. GE's going to do his thing for sure.
It's exciting to hear things like that. And I love the fact that they're calling him GE. Yeah, it means somebody's paying attention to him when they give you a nickname. So that's good. But I do think that that's going to be, I mean, isn't it crazy, Bears fans? Isn't it crazy to think about all the weapons? It sounds weird saying it. Like, somehow, some way, the Bears have a bunch of weapons. Cole Kmet, people were already thinking he was second in the team in receptions last year. Cole Kmet was. You expect, or should you think Cole Kmet's going to be fourth on the team? Probably third, behind a Keenan and a DJ Moore. Well, Romo Dunze lingering around. And GE somewhere fall, a little bit behind that. I mean, it's just a lot.
DeAndre Swift even, from the backfield. Like, they've got a ton of options, man. Like, you think about this team, like, in Madden. Like, if this were, like, 10 years ago and the Bears were put together, I'd be playing with the Bears all the time.
All the time. And you'd just be putting up 80 every game. Yeah. And, like, just, and crushing teams with their defense.
Threes, man. This team would be so much fun to play with.
Because, you know, right, exactly. Madden's going to make sure that Caleb's going to hit those throws on the run. Like, when you're running to the sideline, those are going to be more accurate than anyone else. And then when you when you're throwing it to Keenan or DJ Moore, like, are you kidding me? They're just going to let you catch the ball. It's over.
Oh, that's so true.
That's a good one. I know. It's like, now I want to go make the Bears back in, like, Madden 2010 or something like that.
Yeah, man.
Just make the new Bears. All right. Mark Grody will be talking about Bears tomorrow, 6 o'clock, and I'm sure he'll be giving you all training camp updates. And don't forget, Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And coming up, we are going to be talking Chicago baseball, specifically the Cubs. I want to talk about where they're at and, you know, my level of optimism. I think it's extremely high for this team. And I do think they're going to snag that last wild card spot, something that they didn't complete last year. But to my baseball fans out there, you can come out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo this Thursday from 4 to 5:30 for an appearance with Ozzie Guillen and 670 The Score. Ozzie's going to be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area and mingling poolside. So be ready to talk some baseball at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo this Thursday at 4 p.m. All right, Cubs talk on the other side. So all my baseball purists, make sure you're hanging out with me at the top of the hour. It's Gabe Ramirez, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better.
The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.